Good morning. Good morning to our online members as well. Welcome. Thank you for inviting us again to visit with you. And it's always a privilege to and enjoyable to fellowship with you all and just share a day with you. And happy Father's Day to our fathers. A couple of weeks ago, we just got back from vacation in Europe. It's one of our bucket lists. My wife and I and Jonathan went to Switzerland for a few days. My wife has her cousin's wife and family over there and near Geneva, and we visited with her and stayed with her for 3 nights. And then we went to Zermatt, saw the Matterhorn. It was beautiful. It was still full of snow, and we took that ride to the Gornigrad. There's a train ride to take you there. It's a beautiful country. Switzerland is a beautiful country. And we stayed a couple of nights in Bern, which is the capital of Switzerland. There's this old city which is still full of, I mean, it still looks like you're transported into 200 years ago. It's beautiful to see. And then we spent 5 nights in Paris. That's where we celebrated our 35th anniversary with Eiffel Tower in the background. So that was fun. So God has been graceful and full of mercy and just blessed us with many blessings. 35 years is it's like a blink in an eye, but here we are. We can't catch up to Mel and Barbara. I don't know if we can, but 52 years for you now? Yeah. Okay, I missed. Okay, 56. That's good. But we're still grateful privileged to serve God and to be with you all. Last week, we celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the birthday of the New Testament Church. And today, in our Christian calendar, it's called the Trinity Sunday. It's the first day after Lent, and this is the first day of the ordinary week, ordinary days in our Christian calendar. As we all know, we have come to believe in GCI, the Triune God, the Trinity. Yeah, with our Trinitarian theology, God is one God and three persons, distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our passage today is taken from chapter 16 of John and verses 12 to 15. This short passage describes how Jesus cares for his disciples and for us. And he did that by promising to be with us by sending the Holy Spirit. We will see how the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work together to bring about the fulfillment of their grand plan for all humanity. So let's pray first. Dear God, our Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here today and for our online brethren as well. And we just thank you for the word, the light upon our feet, and that lights our lives, Lord. And we thank you for the revelation of who you are, and inspired by the Holy Spirit in us. So we just ask for your blessing now as we go into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read chapter 16, verses 12 to 15 of John. Jesus said, "I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the Friend comes, the Spirit of the truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed, out of all that I have done and said. He will honor me, he will take from me, and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I have said, he takes from me and delivers to you." This is from the Message translation by John Peterson. It's a passage from the farewell address of Jesus in the upper room, after the Lord's Supper, and this passage, this discourse, the farewell discourse of Jesus, was written by John, and almost like one-fifth of his gospel. It's five chapters, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And this is towards the end of Jesus' discourse. And so the disciples were having all this information, and having all these activities that Jesus did. In chapter 13, he took off his clothes and washed his disciples' feet and told them, "I have a new command for you all. Love one another as I have loved you. And then he told them in chapter 14 that he will go away and prepare a place for them, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then in chapter 15, he told them to abide in him as he is the true vine. He is the true vine and you are the branches. He also warned them about future persecutions from the world. Because the world hated me, they will hate you too, he warned them. And then in chapter 16, he told them that it is for their own good that he would go away, that he is going away, because when he goes away, he will send another counselor, another helper, like him, who is the Holy Spirit. So this is after 3 years of being with Jesus. The disciples spent time with him. For 3 years, he taught them the mysteries of God, the gospel of the kingdom. He told them that he is the Messiah, and he showed miracles. He performed many miracles, and he taught them a lot of parables and stories about the truth. And then towards the end, he told them, the Messiah, the Son of Man, will suffer, and for 3 days he will die, and for 3 days he will rise again. And the disciples did not understand that. And so when we get to chapter 16, the disciples were just having a ton of information. It's going off over their head. It's like when you're bombarded with so much information in school or in a lecture, you feel overwhelmed that your brain is like having a short circuit or something. We went to the Louvre, the museum in Paris, and we had a tourist guide, and so much art to see. Did you know they have about over 3,000 pieces of arts, and it will take 3 months to see all of them? The Louvre itself is like almost 9 miles if you walk all around. We just spent 2.5 hours, and towards the end of it, Yoli and I were telling each other, did you get that? What did he say that was? It's like, it's a data overload going through those historical events and historical pieces of arts. Jesus knew that his disciples were already overwhelmed with a lot of these emotions. They were sad already that he told them that he's going away. And so they couldn't grasp any more of this additional information. So he told them, take it easy. I'm going to give you a helper. I'm not going to add more information. This is it for now. I have more to tell you. And isn't that how we experience God in our lives? There are times when we have situations and we don't understand everything. When we're faced with issues and problems in lives. Why did this happen? Why is this happening to me? And sometimes we just have to stop and let God take over. Because in due time, he will understand. He will reveal the information, the correct information to us. So in this passage, I want to break it down into the three ministries of the Holy Spirit that Jesus mentioned here. And to the disciples and to the church and to us today. First, he told them he will guide them to Jesus Christ, to all truth. The friend, the Spirit of the truth will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. Since Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life, the ministry of Jesus by guiding them into truth is to guide them into Jesus Christ. And how did the Holy Spirit guide the disciples and us today? By being in them, by dwelling in them. In John 14, Jesus told his disciples, as he was talking about leaving, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. He will be in you. The Holy Spirit did not just guide the disciples by the hand, like somebody holding somebody's hand, supporting it on the side. The Holy Spirit indwelt the disciples, and he lives in us today. Maybe in physical terms, it's hard to feel that, to realize that. How does the Holy Spirit live in us? How does the Holy Spirit guide us today? And it's a relationship. It's how we relate to God in our faith, and it's how we relate to one another. Because God speaks to us through one another. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and when we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, as we fellowship with each other. And the second point that I'd like to bring up is, he won't draw attention to himself. He will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed out of all that I have done and said. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to explain everything to the disciples. They did not understand many of Jesus' teachings. If you remember the road to Emmaus, the disciples, after two of the disciples, they did not understand what just happened. Jesus was alive and then he died and now he's risen and he's back to on earth. He's with us again. What's happened? And Jesus had to explain it to them. Unknowingly, they were being taught by Jesus Christ from the scriptures. So the Holy Spirit, it's the instrument that explains everything about what Jesus did. And that's why we have the gospel. He inspired the writers of the gospel to write the story and life of Jesus for us. That's why we have it today. Through the gospel, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have the story and the explanation of what happened to Jesus and what he taught. And without the Holy Spirit, though, we cannot understand all these spiritual things. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 to 10, "But we speak God's wisdom, a hidden mystery," Paul's writing here, "which God decreed before the ages of our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." We understand the spiritual matters of God because the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. That's why Paul was inspired to write the epistles. In addition to the Gospels, we have the writings of Paul and Peter and John. And we have the epistles that explains the mysteries of the gospel of the kingdom. And then John was inspired to write the book of Revelation of what is to come. As Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will reveal everything to us. It's not yet full, and our understanding will never be full on this side of eternity. And we will have more time to understand the mysteries of God when we get there. The third thing that I'd like to point out here from this passage is that the Holy Spirit will reveal the triune God to us. He will honor me, he will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said he takes from me and delivers to you. This is the main role of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, everything the Father has is also mine. And everything that I have, the Holy Spirit will deliver to you. So the Holy Spirit is delivering to us, has delivered to the disciples, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it took time through history. We never understood it in the very beginning. The disciples did not have all the understanding, but it's a progressive revelation. He delivers it. The Holy Spirit will disclose, will announce, and will reveal and make known to our spirit and our understanding. And his focus is not to himself. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, but his focus is not himself. His focus is Jesus Christ. He's like a floodlight that illuminates something. It illuminates Jesus Christ and the Father for all of us. So when we were in Paris, we had this view of the Eiffel Tower. And before nightfall, it was just a normal tower. It's a radio antenna. People climbing up through elevator. We didn't go in there, by the way. But when night fell, about 10 o'clock, the floodlight started to turn on. And this tower turned into a beautiful golden piece of structure, beautiful structure in the middle of Paris. And every hour it flashes with different lights. It's like blinking. I wish I have a video of that, but it blinks for 5 minutes and people just wait for that show. It's a light show. And that's what the Holy Spirit's been doing through the ages, is to focus on who Jesus Christ is. Because Jesus Christ reveals the Father to us. And through the Holy Spirit inspiring us to understand who God is. and what our relationship is with Him. We now have a purpose. We now have an understanding of why we're here and where we are going. Because the Holy Spirit's floodlights is focused on God and the triune God. As we celebrated last week, this promise of Jesus Christ was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2, let me just go through that, the coming of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, we probably read this last week, Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. So this is the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of all truth, will come to the disciples. Divided tongues as of fire reminds us of the pillar of fire in the wilderness during Moses' time. The pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. It's like each disciple received his own personal pillar of fire that empowered them and led them throughout life. And that's what we have today. Through the Holy Spirit, we have a pillar of fire in us, guiding us in every decision that we make, in our worship of God and in our fellowship with one another. So the promised Holy Spirit came upon them, filled them, and they were given special abilities and spoken in other languages. And notice that when the Bible says filled with the Holy Spirit, it usually follows a manifestation of speaking in tongues or prophesying. Filled by the Holy Spirit, Peter gave his first sermon after Pentecost, and 3,000 were baptized that day. The Holy Spirit worked with Saul on his way to Damascus, and he lost his eyesight for 3 days. He couldn't see, and the Lord told Ananias to go to him, and he went to Paul, and Ananias said, "The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So you see the Holy Spirit working through the disciples and through Paul. Just as Jesus was patient with his disciples in the upper room on that last night and did not overwhelm them with a lot of new information at once, the Holy Spirit revealed truths to the disciples gradually as they are able to handle. If you remember the story of Peter and his vision of the cloth, a tablecloth filled with unclean animals, that was to prepare Peter for meeting Cornelius, a centurion. And at that appropriate time, the Holy Spirit revealed to Peter that the Gentiles are also part of the kingdom of God, of the family of God. So for thousands of years, for 2,000 years since then, the church continued to grow in grace and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. There may be dark times during the history of the church, but the church of Jesus Christ prevailed. We can read about the early church fathers, how they were inspired to clarify and establish the Christian doctrines that we have today, all focused on Jesus Christ. There was the Nicene Creed that was a result of the First Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, and they come up with the Declaration of the Trinity. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and I believe in the Son. This is what we get from the Council of Nicaea, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then there was the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, initiated by Martin Luther. From this came the statements that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And in this last century, we have many theologians like Karl Barth and Thomas Torrance explaining what they understand about the Trinity. And that's where GCI gained this understanding of the Trinitarian theology. There was Christian apologists like C.S. Lewis, who wrote books explaining what Christianity is all about, mere Christianity. If you haven't read it, I'm still trying to understand everything that he wrote, but it's a beautiful argument for Christianity. And did you know that C.S. Lewis was initially an atheist? But the Holy Spirit worked with him, and he converted to Christianity and came to understand. And all through this history, I believe the Holy Spirit's working through people and teachers and all the Christians that came to believe. From that eventful day of the first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples and gathered people responding to the gospel proclamation and created the community that we have come to call the church. Just as the physical creation came into existence when the Spirit hovered over the deep dark waters, if you remember Genesis, a new spiritual creation is taking shape through the breathing of the Spirit over all of humanity. As the gospel is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit continues to bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ and with each other. As the good news of the kingdom finds its way into the nooks and corners of this world, the Holy Spirit is bringing truth and convicting hearts. Captives are finding freedom. Those oppressed are finding redemption. And there are many stories of changed people in our Christian history. I read about the story of John Newton, the author of the hymn Amazing Grace. He was a militant atheist. He was a slave trader. He was hated and feared by his crewmates. And at age of 23, his ship encountered a severe storm off the coast of Donegal and almost sank. He called out to God as the ship filled with water. And on that day, March 10, 1748, God rescued him. He began a new life. He started to pray and read the Bible and eventually joined William Wilberforce in the campaign to abolish the slave trade and became a leading light in that campaign. And he wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind and now I see. So there's a lot of transformation that we see in history. We ourselves in our GCI story experienced that as a denomination. The church was transformed into grace. We have witnessed the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit firsthand in GCI. And the reformation that we experience is nothing short of a miracle. There's so much more that we can experience and we can understand about God. I started getting inspiration when I was a little boy. I thought, what would my life be if I die and I will be non-existent and this world will continue to move on? Where would I be? And I believe the Holy Spirit inspired me to do that, to think about that. And I began to pray and I came across a Gideon Bible and started reading it, began to believe in God. And I was a Catholic, of course, and believe in God, but began to read about who God is. And a few years later, I came across The Plain Truth. That's how I got introduced to the Worldwide Church of God. And through the Worldwide Church of God, God inspired me to pray, Lord, I need a wife. So He gave me Yoli, and 35 years later, here we are. But through the years, God has been faithful in His promise of guiding us and directing us. My prayer when I was first new in the Worldwide Church of God was, Lord, I don't understand the Bible. Please teach me. And through the years up to now, I can say I'm at peace with God. What we understand now about the Trinitarian theology and our relationship with God gives me peace. And I can walk this life on earth knowing that it doesn't depend on me. Christ has done it all. And nothing can separate me from that love of God. So for us to come to that point, it requires the Holy Spirit inspiring us to understand more who we are in our relationship with God. So we may be discouraged in these days. We see a lot of bad news. There's war going on. There's a lot of statistics that Christian attendance in America is dwindling down. And it seems like Christianity is losing, but when Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, He meant it. Through the ages, empires and dictatorships has come and gone. But the church, the Christian church, is still growing. We may not see it. In difficult areas of the world, it's growing because of the Holy Spirit working in people. So how do we respond to this truth? How do we respond to this understanding that God has revealed to us about Himself? I propose that we have to continue to allow the Spirit to guide us and empower us to live and share the gospel to others. Let us let the Spirit live in us. Live the gospel. And second, allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and refresh us as we go through life, our life here on earth, spending time with His Word, spending time with the light that we have, reading and meditating on the Bible. It's very easy now to read the Bible. You have the Bible app. My wife and I have been reading the Everyday Bible, and we are on past 6 months now. So it's very easy to read about truth, about Christian, what do you call those, teachings. The internet was created probably by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as well. So it makes it easier for people to have access to the truth. Thank you to Barbara for her weekly blog. That inspires me. Very inspirational messages. So there are so many ways to get connected with God through His Word. And let's take advantage of those. And lastly, let us surrender to the Holy Spirit's power to produce the fruit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We cannot produce these ourselves. The Spirit produces these through us. The Church of Jesus Christ is destined to succeed, not because of our efforts, but because of the Spirit's ongoing work of gathering, uniting, and sanctifying us. May we rest in this assurance and remain encouraged by the promise of Jesus Christ and the ever-faithful ministry of the Holy Spirit, revealing Jesus Christ to us, revealing the triune God to us. And let us participate eagerly and joyfully, knowing that we are part of the eternal communion of our holy triune God. And let me close with 2 Corinthians. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you so much for revealing yourself to us through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit in us. And we just ask you now to help us to grow continually in the grace and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray for your blessing now and for your dismissal. In Jesus Christ's most holy name, amen.